Welcome to another podcast by Victoria Point Baptist Church. We are glad you have joined us today. If you would like to connect with us as we aim to introduce people to Jesus by connecting with our local community and beyond, you can find out more at vpbc.com.au.
Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us that whatever we face, that you will carry us through.
It's good to see you, and thank you to the traditional service people getting up 2 hours earlier than normal. If only we would have had the link, you could have come in your pyjamas like the kids, and that would have saved you an hour or so at least. But thank you for being here, and it's good that we're able to come together. Our theme for the whole year is the discipleship challenge, that we are to grow and we are to go. And this morning, as we look at the passage from Luke 4, both aspects will be covered. And maybe as we go through this, you can start thinking about, well, where's the go and where's the grow part of it? But we're going to be looking at that and identifying, I suppose, an understanding of what's close to God's heart. As Christian believers, sometimes we can find ourselves going down a lot of dry gullies. In other words, we forget what Christ came for, or we forget what our purpose is. And we can pursue all sorts of things. We can pursue knowledge, we can pursue tradition, we can pursue church rituals and traditions and all sorts of things. And so it's really important this morning that we understand of a simple reminder of why we're here and what is our purpose. And the reason that we need to understand that is because it will change our attitude to other people. And it's important that we do that this morning. Would you pray with me? God, just lead and guide us, I pray, this morning. Help us to have soft hearts. Help us to hear your word, hear your message. Lord, I pray today that we would be in a space where we're willing to receive all that you have for us. And that most importantly, we'd be willing to investigate and pursue and understand the life that you're calling us to. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting how we like to name drop. It's a bit weird, really, but it's because we think somehow that the efforts of someone else or the things that other people are able to do bring some sort of glory to us or make us feel better. And so we're really quick, if we know someone who's famous or popular and we get any opportunity to name drop, a friend of my sister's brother so-and-so knows so-and-so, we do it. And it's part of this human thinking that we'd like to align our lives with someone else. If they're doing good things, if they're famous, if they're successful, somehow we like to have that sort of connection. There's no real logic to it, but I just know it makes us feel better if we think we know someone who's important. But it makes us feel better if I can tell you about it. And somehow you're going to think better of me because I know someone. It doesn't make sense, but we do it. And we have evidence of this when Jesus goes back to his own hometown, Nazareth. For them, it's like the local boy made good. And Jesus is well known. People are aware that he has a ministry of healing and preaching. And they know all about him. And so he visits the synagogue. And understandably, they hand him the scriptures and they get him to read it and to do a little sermon. And at this stage, and we'll see it change, but at this stage, the people are for Jesus. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, and as we read from verse 14, we see there that they are for Jesus. There we go. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him sped through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. So it's really interesting. The people say, yay, Jesus, we're on team Jesus, praise the name of Jesus. And they're willing to do this because they're identifying with him. He's one of ours. He's the local boy. He's with us. Now, the understanding is if we go back a little bit in time, when they talked about Jesus coming, they identified him as Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael, amongst all the other disciples, says, does anything good ever come out of Nazareth? So they have this bit of a crisis of identity. They have a bit of a chip on their shoulder. And so they don't feel really good about themselves because people don't think much of Nazareth. But when Jesus comes back, they sort of latch onto him and they jump onto him and they think, ah, local boy made good. We're going to make the most of this. And the people were happy with Jesus because they were looking at Jesus through their own lens. In other words, they were making Jesus to be what they wanted him to be. They wanted him to be this person who was famous and successful, but he was from Nazareth. And he was going to give the town a lift, and he was going to help them to see that, there are good people in a good town. And so they are owning Jesus because he's going to do something for them. There's some good fringe benefits in knowing Jesus. And that's how our minds sometimes work. We do choose sometimes to look at Jesus through our own eyes. In other words, we hear what we want to hear, we see what we want to see. We read the Bible so it suits us. We leave out any bits that are inconvenient, we don't like. We need to be careful because we can do the same thing where we see Jesus as someone who has benefit to us. And to fit into that mold, we sort of see or we have a picture of how we want Jesus to be. It's human nature to look for the benefit. So you know, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes, maybe at a hardware store or something, but sometimes you go and there's a big sale and they have these really small words, up to, really tiny, and then they have really big words, 50% off. And I can guarantee, unless you're a savvy shopper, that you will go in there and your mind will be thinking, oh, there's 50% off everything. Because they know human nature is we're always looking for the benefit. What's in it for us? And we see this repeated here with the Jewish people. They're looking at Jesus through their own lens. They're seeing what they want to see. They're putting him in the nice place because it makes them feel good. But one of the challenges about knowing Jesus is understanding his purpose. And knowing Jesus is understanding why he came. And as we see here, at the life of the disciple who wants to grow can only grow through the means of committing themselves to Jesus' purpose. So sometimes we think, oh, I'm a good disciple if I can have a lot of knowledge, or if I sacrifice, or I give, or I'm a lot of committees, or I go to church. And we sometimes think the life of a disciple growing in means we're doing more. But the challenge has to be, firstly, are we doing what God wants us to do? Are we fulfilling our purpose according to Jesus? Or have we turned Jesus into this convenience for us, that he's someone to follow, but we sort of get sidetracked and we go down these dry gullies of the Christian faith, and we invest in lots of things that may well be good but aren't the best? So to understand our calling, or to be the disciple who's growing, we have to understand, what is Jesus' purpose? When I'm talking to someone very early in their journey of wanting to know about faith in Jesus, when I'm talking to someone who's just starting out, I always just make it simple. I said, what you need to do is two things. You need to know who Jesus is, and you need to know what he's done for you. Because that's basically it. When we understand that he's God's Son who died on the cross to restore us to the Father, and he's done that for us as a gift of love and grace, then we start to get onto the journey. But if they think it's about church and dressing nice on Sunday and not dancing as Baptists, it's about studying and praying and having spiritual rituals and disciplines, and you commit so many hours to it, and that's the sign of maturity, they're just not going to find life. They're going to find religion, and religion kills us. It sucks the life out of us. So to understand, if you want to introduce someone into the journey of faith, you've got to introduce, who's Jesus? Geez, God's Son, he died on the cross. Why did he do that? Because he loves you, and he wanted to forgive you of sin and restore you to the Father. So they're simple questions that we need to understand. So to know Jesus, you have to understand his purpose, why he came. But this is more to the point. You have to understand why he's left us here. We have to understand why we exist. What's our purpose? Why are we here? Why didn't he just take us all lock, stock and barrel up into heaven? And here we see a really clear picture, and it's spelled out for us, where Jesus is about to reveal his purpose. And we begin to see how the Jewish people reveal their true motives. They are not interested in Jesus and his purpose. They're just interested in owning him, local boy made good. We feel better ourselves. We know Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Yeah, he used to just live around the road. In fact, we just had him at church this morning and he preached. We can almost see that they're really excited that they have this association, this name dropping with Jesus. But you've got to remember, they are just looking at Jesus in a way. They are seeing what they want to see. But then Jesus clarifies very clearly what his purpose is from verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This reveals our true identity, you and me. We are poor, spiritually poor. We are broken. We are slaves. We are oppressed. And when we have an understanding that we come to God in our weakness, when we understand that we come to God in our brokenness, when we understand that we come to him because we are spiritually poor, then we have a different view of who Jesus is. He suddenly can't be the convenience where we just own him because there's fringe benefits. But we understand there's more at stake here. You and I have to realize that without him, we are spiritually poor. We are bankrupt spiritually. We have nothing to offer. And it's by that understanding that determines our relationship with him. Now, Jesus also, he talked about to orphans and widows. And so he also had a ministry to the material poor. And that's true. We need to keep that in mind. But in the context of this passage, as he talks to these Jewish people in the synagogue, he's reminding them he came to them because they are spiritually poor. And it's important for us to remember that today. Not that we would be downtrodden and feel like we're useless or have this weight of guilt and duty just suffocate the life out of us. But there's some real benefits in you and I realizing that we were poor. That's why Jesus came. There's some real benefit in having a true humility and understanding of why we're here and what is the issue. Because today, the key issue that we want to address in a couple of different ways is pride. Where we see ourselves as better than what we are. And we'll talk about some other things that come from that in a little later on. But here we see this group of Jewish people who are owning Jesus and they're praising his name because he's a local and he's with them and he makes them feel better. But Jesus says, actually, this is what I'm about. This is why I came. We were once prisoners of sin, slaves of sin. We're set free. Once we were blind to the truth, deceit and lies, but now that we can see. Once we were trapped forever, beyond help, oppressed, but now we're released. What a good thing it is. Once we were lost, but now we're found, and now the favor of God rests on us. We are children of God. How good is that? But we have to understand where we came from. We have to understand that we don't come from a position of strength, but we come from weakness. And it's God's grace, only his grace, that enables any of us. Why? Because we were poor, we were broken, we were oppressed. That's why Jesus came, and we need to remember that. Now, this message is not acceptable to a lot of people. In fact, to the Jewish people, it's a huge offense. What? We're not your special people? They would have no concept, no idea, no grasp of that. It would be totally outrageous to them when Jesus said, you are spiritually bankrupt. We are special people. We keep to the law. We do all these things. We keep to all the rules and regulations. And you say we're spiritually poor. So now we see the tides starting to turn. When Jesus is making them feel good, praise the name of Jesus. But when Jesus says, hey, I came because you guys are spiritually poor and bankrupt, they go, ugh. And it's going to get worse because Jesus makes it clear to them that they are not just God's special people. And the thing that's going to really irritate them this morning or today or that time is that Jesus is going to say, you know what? God came to save the Gentiles as well. Those people that you think are scum, those people that you think are dirty, those people that you think are beyond help, you need to understand that this message of grace is available to them. And in their minds, they are thinking, I can understand Jesus came to save the Gentile because they're dirty scum. But the thought that Jesus came to save them, they're God's special people, is outrageous. And they're starting to brew and get a bit red in the face and look uncomfortable. I assure you that were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time. When the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a famine, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman and Syrian. And this is the depth of the offense. This is what really gets them cranky. Jesus points out to them that it was the Gentiles who sought God in difficult times, not the Jews. It was the Gentiles who were humble enough to reach out for help. It was the Gentiles who were blessed by God, not the Jews, because the Jews were proud. There's nothing wrong with them. They're not spiritual bankrupt. They don't need to be humble before God. But the Gentiles were, and the Gentiles were blessed. And we know there was a great famine. And we read about Elijah the prophet, and there's this Jewish lady that even though she had no food, she welcomed Elijah into a home. And we know the story about how God blessed her, and that's what he's referring to. Hey, there's this huge famine, there's this great problem, but you Jews were too proud, you missed the blessing. It was actually the Gentiles who were humble enough to say, come on in. So pride stops them from being blessed. Their opinion of themselves stopped being blessed. They think they're so good, they're so great, they're special, but they miss the blessing. But you know those Gentiles who they would see as scum? They're willing enough in humility to say, God, I need help. And so Naaman was a fierce warrior, a famous soldier, and he was loved by the people. He was sort of, little boys would have had pictures, posters of him on the wall. He's like a hero. Not only that, but the king loved him as well. But there's only one problem. Naaman had leprosy. Now, through the course of events, there's a Jewish girl that's serving the family, and he's got leprosy, and she says, hey, mate, you know what you should do? You should go zap down and see Elijah, the prophet, God's prophet. He'll heal you. And so the king says, yeah, good idea, let's go. So they give Naaman a heap of money, and they get a letter from the king, and they go down to see Elijah so that he can be healed. Elijah sends out his messenger to greet him. First offense. Hey, I'm too important. Can't I even get a face-to-face with Elijah? So he's offended because I'm important here. But Elijah just doesn't say, like, he's a busy, important man. Can't he just go, whatever, you're fixed? No, he doesn't. Elijah's prophet says, I want you to go and dunk yourself in the river seven times to be cured. And here we have it again, pride. Pride takes over. I'm far too special. I'm far too important to do that. Who do you think I am? Sending your servant and then telling me to dunk in the river seven times. So he has a little hissy fit. And he takes off. Pride. Urgh! But someone talks some sense into him. And slowly he comes around. The person says, hey, mate, stop being a... Just do as you're told, will you? And you'll be healed. I didn't say anything. And I had lots of options of words, and none of them would fit this context. And so he goes back. So he was a reluctant starter, but at least he humbled himself. See the message here? Gee, we have to be really, really careful that we don't get a big head. We've got to be really careful that we remember where we came from. We were poor, we were broken, we were oppressed, and Jesus' purpose was to come and save us. And if we're not humble but we're proud, we're going to miss the blessing. You see, God will respond to humility. God will respond to our brokenness. God will be willing to bless us as we acknowledge the relationship. He is strong, we are weak. Let's see the response of proud people. And let's make sure there's not just a little bit of us in them. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. So their pride meant they couldn't hear the message. Their pride meant they couldn't be blessed. Their pride meant that they missed out on the blessing. If we want to grow as disciples of Jesus, we have to understand where we came from. And we have to understand how this relationship works. We were the poor, broken, oppressed ones. And Jesus came down of heaven in his greatness and became a man and reached out to us in love to set us free. And there's no point where that relationship changes that we're not living in humility to him. Jesus wasn't surprised by the response of the Jewish people. And we get hints of that as we read on. Then he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of everyone of the synagogue was fastened on him, and began saying, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in my hearing." All spoke well of him at this stage and were amazed at his gracious words. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" You know, the kid that used to live around the corner, used to play cricket. Jesus said, "Surely you will croak this proverb with me," because he's right on to them. He knows they're just in this for what they can get. "Surely you're going to say, 'Heal myself. Don't you want me to do the miracles that you've heard about that I did in Capernaum? I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown.'" So firstly, the miracles to them are just a bit of a sideshow, just benefit. He's famous. He's a Nazareth, comes from Nazareth. He's one of ours. Great fringe benefits. But the other thing is, they thought he was the son of Joseph. They didn't realize he was the son of God. Even though he performed miracles, and even though he said, "I'm the fulfillment of this," when he was in the synagogue, they still didn't get it. So to know Jesus is to know his purpose and to live out his calling. But to love Jesus is to know that he is the Son of God. The reverence and the respect and the humility. Because pride will rob us of that. If we have some sense that we are special, that we're great, look at me, look at what I've done, look at what I know, look at what I've achieved. The moment that we get into that sort of thing where we lose sight of who we really are, we forget or come under the power and the reverence of the Son of God. And if we see him as a convenience, or we see him, he makes our life look better or something, we're going to miss the blessing. Do you know the amount of influence that Jesus will have in your life will be in proportion to how you see him? If he's just a good man, he'll have no influence. If he's someone that does amazing miracles, he'll really have no influence. The only time that Jesus really has influence when we bow down out of respect and honor and worship and say, "You are the Son of God." But there's something else that we need to hear this morning. Because it's really easy to pay out on those Jewish people and, you know, really give it to them and say, "Ah, you losers." That's an acceptable word, isn't it? Losers? Good. I'll stick with that one. Would be really easy to look at the Jewish people and say, "You nincompoops, you whatever." But sometimes we think like the Jews. We see people who don't have faith like Gentiles. And we have this sort of superficial love that's sort of acceptable to everyone because we know that's what we should do. We should love others. But when we see their bad behavior, when we see them living morally in ways that are not honoring to God, when we see them doing terrible, terrible things, we never own that and we never compromise and we understand the importance of holy living. But what I recognize and I do myself and what I see in others is when we see people doing terrible things, we don't see them as people who God loves. We see them like Gentiles. They're the scum. And this is the challenge. Jesus said, "My purpose is to come to those who are spiritually poor. And there are lots of things happening in this world that I don't like. There's many things that are happening in this world that just cause me to go, what is going on here? And it is right that we have some maybe righteous anger when we see things that are happening in this world and people doing stuff that's just outrageous. But I sense there are times when we step over the line and we see them like Gentiles as scum, and we don't really invest in them because of the things they do. And I wonder, are we ready for the Gentiles to come into church? Are we ready to overlook their sin, their moral disgrace, their lack of faithful, holy living, whatever? Are we ready for the Gentiles to come in? I don't think we are. And yet the reality is Jesus said, this is the reason that I come. So remember the Jewish people kept to the rules, all their regulations, and they kept to the rules, but they missed the point. And I'm just worried that we might, yes, we have a lot more humility to them, but we're not quite ready to open the doors to Gentiles because we don't really understand God loves them. And even though they do horrible and terrible, disgraceful things, we have to love them too. And the reason that we are here is to love them, and the reason that we're here is to introduce them to Jesus. But we find in some ways that we have a mandate to shun them, or to look down on them, or to criticize and to judge and say, aren't they terrible people? Oh! So I'm just wondering, are we ready to let the Gentiles in? In the last little while, we've had a little bit of a change of direction the last 12 and 18 months, and we've realized that this is our purpose, and we've got over 50 people doing Alpha. I think there's 15 to 18 of them that don't know Jesus yet. We've probably got a couple of hundred people coming tonight at our Food for Thought, and there'll be people there that don't know Jesus. And so I've found the more that we open ourselves up to what God wants, the more He's bringing us people who need to hear the message. But I just wonder, when God starts opening the doors to people that we find we just can't connect to. They just have some ideas and lifestyles and things that are just so weird and so terrible. But this is the message. The Jewish people, excuse me, but got a hell of a shock. They got a hell of a shock because Jesus called them out and said, you think you're special? You're just poor, broken, and oppressed. And they're going, this can't be. We're special. No, you're not. And I sort of think I would hate to be that one day God's going to shake us and say, you've missed the point. In your holy huddles. And look, we are much better than most churches. I've just realized, I don't want you to get too heavy and think, we are much better place. We are. But we're still guilty of thinking that we're special and seeing other people as Gentile scum. And God, by His Spirit, needs to do a work in us. When people with sexual orientation issues, when they have all sorts of things and stuff, we need to welcome them. We're not agreeing with the things they believe in or the lifestyle, but we need to welcome them. But I can guarantee if that started happening, we wouldn't know what to do. We really wouldn't. And why? Because we pursue the dry gullies of faith, tradition, ritual, knowing stuff, spiritual knowledge. Maturity is how much I know, how much I can recite, how holy I am. And Jesus said to these Jewish people, that's nothing. I actually came for the poor. And so what are we meant to do? I like this. Jesus sort of got up, looked at them, and just, they're trying to kill him, he just walks through the crowd. You know what, I don't care what you think, I'm just going to do what I'm called to do and minister to the poor and the needy and the oppressed. And that's the example that we should follow. We've got to walk through popular opinion. Can I suggest to you, in for a penny a pound, isn't it? They say, well, you're going good if I'm going to get killed. No. We have to walk through the popular opinion of most churches. Amen. We have to walk through the popular opinion of many Christians who say, no, I want nothing at all to do with the Gentiles. We're going to stay in our holy huddle. And we've got to walk through that crowd with the commitment of saying, I don't care what you think. I'm just going to do what Jesus wants me to do. Pride is a terrible thing and it just stops people from being blessed. But I have a sense here that this message to the Jewish people is a message for me and a message for you. We were once poor, broken and oppressed. And we got the greatest gift of all. By his love, mercy and grace, Jesus said, I want you to be a child of God. And when we became a child of God, we remembered where we came from for a while, but then we start to think of how good and special we are. But we've got to remember where we came from, we've got to remember what Jesus did for us, and we've got to want it for every single person that he created. That's going to be awkward and difficult, but we need to have a heart that is soft and open to what God has for us. Let's pray. Father God, we want to grow and we want to go. There's aspects of this world that we live in that we really just don't know how to handle it, to be honest. But we need to be open to the challenge. But God, I do know that the thing that will stop us will be pride. The thing that will stop us from hearing the message and receiving your blessing is pride. So God, would we be humble before you? And when we look at the so-called Gentiles, may we remember where we came from. May we remember what, by the grace of God, has been done for us. So God, we're not going to compromise your message and we're not going to compromise your truth. But we are in a position where we have to live with people in mercy and grace and love and accept them as they are so that we can introduce them to truth. So God, I just pray today that we'd leave here thankful to you and humble before you and say, thank you, God, for your grace. Oh, it's so good to be a child of God. I didn't deserve it, but it's so good. But I'd pray that we'd also leave here and start thinking about what your purpose is, because that's our purpose. And it would be easy to criticize the Jewish people and be easy to lay out on them and say, oh, they're full of pride and arrogance. Oh, but God, I just think this message is for us as well. Do you make your response this morning? Just start the journey, I am. There's many things I don't know what to do, honestly. I just don't know the way forward in some of these things. But we've got to start the journey and we've got to start to be open. And if we open the doors to Gentiles, we need to be close and dependent and listening to God's Spirit. Would you make your response this morning?